Russians fail to break a Chechen rebel hostage siege, the Allies tell Boris Yeltsin to settle with the Chechens. A lesbian wins her battle with the Navy. Good morning, this is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. Russian commandos stormed the hospital where Chechen rebels are holding more than 1,000 hostages, but failed in two separate forays to end the bloody siege that began Wednesday. But they did manage to rescue about 60 hostages. The rebels then released 150 women and children. BBC correspondent Diana Goodman says the firing in Budyonovsk has subsided. Earlier, some of the hostages gave the Russian troops a come-get-us signal.
Inside the hospital, there are still hundreds of hostages remaining. I was there a short time ago before the worst firing started, and I saw that they were waving white sheets from the windows. This was not to be seen as a gesture of surrender by the Chechen rebels. These are hostages who were waving the white sheets desperately saying, come and save us. But what they don't want is another attack by Russian troops because they're very fearful that they'll be killed.
At last report, the two sides were still negotiating. The rebels say they want Russian troops out of Chechnya. Boris Yeltsin says five Russian soldiers have been killed in Budyonovsk. Leaders of the industrial democracies are letting Yeltsin know they want the bloodshed in Chechnya to stop.
I'm Mark Noller at the Economic Summit in Halifax. The leaders of the so-called G7 are now the G7 plus one. They were joined last night by Russian President Boris Yeltsin, who again this year was invited to take part in the political discussions of the Big Seven industrialized nations. At a working dinner last night, Yeltsin is said to have briefed the other leaders on the Chechnya situation. The leaders should be able to learn more today during several hours of talks with Yeltsin that is also expected to include the conflict in Bosnia. President Clinton has urged Yeltsin to use his influence with the Serbs to get them to agree to a diplomatic settlement of the war. Mr. Clinton said again yesterday he does not believe a military solution is possible. In any case, the summit leaders will put their appeal into a political communique to be issued as the summit ends this afternoon. Mark Noller, CBS News, Halifax.
A big Bosnian government offensive seems to be letting up. Alan Pizzi has the latest from Sarajevo.
Sarajevo was quiet this morning. Shells were few and people ventured back onto the streets to collect water and tend their gardens. The UN says Bosnian government forces have made gains on three fronts over the past days of fighting. They are believed to have cut the main road, linking the Bosnian Serb capital Pale with Serb-controlled parts of Sarajevo and a major Serb military headquarters. But government troops returning from front lines indicated the assault may not have been quite that successful, and they may have had to pull back. The stated aim of the offensive is to ease the pressure on the city of Sarajevo, but UN humanitarian agencies said food and medicine remain critically short here, with no sign that they will get any more supplies through in the immediate future. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Sarajevo.
It's 3 minutes past. Senior Pentagon officials are reported pressing for the resumption of small-scale underground nuclear tests. The Los Angeles Times says the proposal, coming at a time when the U.S. is pushing for a permanent international test ban, has infuriated some administration officials. The Melbourne, Florida hospital patient who lapsed into a coma when her oxygen supply was cut by a construction worker's mistake has died. The woman went into cardiac arrest and never regained consciousness. Navy Reserve Supply Officer Zoe Dunning says she won't be looking over her shoulder when she marches in tomorrow's lesbian parade in San Francisco.
From this day forward, I serve as an open lesbian in the U.S. military with the military's condonement.
The Navy has decided to drop efforts to discharge Dunning, even though she violated Pentagon policy by publicly declaring her sexual orientation.
I feel great. It's never over till the fat lady sings, and I guess there's some fat lady in Washington singing right now.
In a series of decisions, the courts have issued conflicting rulings on the don't ask, don't tell policy. George Washington University is offering a 4-year scholarship to the victim of a sexual assault by Richie Parker, the high school basketball star it's trying to recruit. The school insists the $100,000 grant has nothing to do with its efforts to land Parker. Earlier this week, the teenager dropped her lawsuit after Parker agreed to give her a share of his future earnings. The trial of the century began last winter, continued through the spring, and is about to spill over into the summer. David Dow takes a look at where it stands.
Jurors in the O.J. Simpson murder case are spending their 23rd weekend in sequestration, while Judge Lance Ito mulls a defense proposal aimed in part at keeping jury ranks from shrinking any further. Even the judge seems amazed that only two alternates remain to fill future vacancies on the main panel.
I was criticized by some of my colleagues for having started this case with 12 alternates. for having too many people and that it would increase the cost of sequestration enormously.
Prosecutors say they're now in the final stages of their case against Simpson after 50 witnesses and 4.5 months of testimony. CBS News legal consultant Victor Gold thinks some of this final testimony could be more irritating than informative to jurors.
It's gone on too long, but the prosecutors don't seem to be sensitive to this. They've got too much, I think, of their own egos and personalities invested in this case to see the forest for all of the trees.
In the coming week, prosecutors will return to an early theme with accounts of at least two more incidents of Simpson's alleged spousal abuse. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's 7 past.
The following is a paid announcement.
Hear that? That's the sound of a recovering California economy. But that could change over the next few months if strict trade sanctions are levied against Japanese imports. Right now, it may only affect luxury cars and a few thousand California jobs, but it could be the first battle in what's likely to become a long and ugly trade war, with California on the front lines. Japan is California's largest trading partner. Last year alone, we exported $13.2 billion worth of goods to Japan. Japanese companies directly employ 150,000 Californians in electronics, entertainment, and computers, just to name a few. And if you add that to the companies that supply them, you're talking over 250,000 California jobs on the line. The big loser in a trade war won't be Japan. It'll be California. And we just want President Clinton to know. We don't think California is a fair trade. This message was brought to you by the Alliance to Save California Jobs.
A Congressional Budget Office analysis obtained by the Associated Press is bad news for the president. It says his plan to balance income and spending in 10 years won't work. The report, requested by Republicans who could use it to shoot down the plan, projects deficits of more than $200 billion through the year 2005. In his Saturday radio address, the president compared his balanced budget plan to the Republican version.
Our plan will keep our economy strong as we eliminate the deficit. And unlike other plans, my plan protects the people in our country who have so much to give and who have given so much.
The tale of a Mexican political murder that was allegedly covered up by a former official who fled to the U.S. is being played out on both sides of the border. Adrian Bard has the latest from Mexico City.
It is a case that has enormous political implications. Some are even calling it Mexico's Watergate. In a New Jersey courtroom, with his legs chained, Mario Ruiz denied the charges against him and then accused former President Carlos Salinas of covering up the murder of his brother, a key politician. The man accused of plotting the murder is Salinas' brother. Next week, a U.S. federal judge is expected to decide whether Ruiz will be sent back to stand trial in Mexico. And as one local pundit wrote, Salinas recently said hiring Ruiz was the biggest mistake of his term, but it may turn out to be the biggest mistake of his life. Adrian Bard for CBS News, Mexico City.
300 of the Japanese Americans who fought in World War II are gathering in Mississippi for this weekend's reunion of the highly decorated 442nd Regimental Combat Team. Herbert Sasaki recalls how Camp Shelby in Hattiesburg was a new world for the volunteers, especially when they were told to join blacks at the back of the bus.
Our people, especially those from Hawaii, were not used to this type of thing, and they would tell the bus driver, you know, we can sit anywhere on the bus we want to sit. So, you know, there would be quite a bit of an altercation between them and the public that are sitting in the bus.
Sharon Stone says comments she made at the National Press Club were misconstrued. To set the record straight, Stone says she was misdiagnosed as having lymph cancer and never actually had the disease, as some reports indicated. It's 10 minutes past.